Today's shiur is daf kuf aleph amud aleph. We're starting from the top of the very top of the amud. We'll start off with a quote from the Mishnah, Hayushneim Kehanim. The Mishnah in yesterday's daf was talking about a situation where a woman, there was a suffik, a doubt on a woman's child, whether she was from one husband or the other. She didn't wait. She was married to one man, and then she didn't wait 3 months until she married the next man. So we don't know if it's a 9-month child from the first husband or possibly a 7-month child from the second husband. And we had different cases that were discussed. Now we're talking about the case, we're quoting the case, really, of, let's say, both fathers were Kohanim, so the child is a Kohen either way. But we're actually going to go to something that really doesn't have to do with Kahuna, just as a general halacha that has to do with this situation. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara said, Hikazeh, the Chazer Hikazeh, if a person hit, person, now this person doesn't know who his father is, and one of the halachas of the Torah is the one who's not allowed to be Maka of the Imo. In fact, it's a capital crime. He's Maka of it, he hits his father in a way, draws dam. It's Maka of the Imo. Another thing he's not allowed to do, he's not allowed to be Makalel, not allowed to Chas V'Shalom to curse his Aviv, his father or his mother. Now this person doesn't know exactly who his father is. So we're talking about his father. Hikazeh, v'chazer hikazeh. So let's say we know it's one of two people. He hit this one, and then he hit this one. Kilalzeh, he was mekalal this one. V'chazer v'kilzeh, and then he was mekalal this one. Kil shneim bevasachas. Kil meaning cursed. Let's say he cursed both of them in one cursing. Or I guess he used the word cursing one time. Or he kashneim bevasachas, or he hit both of them simultaneously. Chayiv. So he's chayiv. He's chayiv really in all these cases, whether he does one after the other. And we mean over here, both of these are capital crimes. So we mean to say that he's chayiv misa. Rav Yehuda Omer, bevasachas chayiv. Rav Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says, I'm only going to say that he could be chayiv misa, that the basin could administer a capital punishment to him if he did it simultaneously. But if he does it one after the other one, he says, then it would be putter. Because just as to back up one step, one of the rules of giving misa, and for that matter, misa meaning a death penalty from a basin, or giving malchus, for that matter, malchus meaning corporal punishment, lashes for other aveiros, is that the witnesses must warn the person first, and he must acknowledge the warning. And then he goes ahead and does the aveira, the sin, the thing that he wasn't supposed to do. So Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that this is, that if he does it bevasachas, then you could say it was a valid hasra, it was a valid warning. But if he does it, if he hits one father, one alleged father, and then he hits the other alleged father, even though, in other words, and it's two separate acts, he says, each one is a hasra suffik. In that kind of case, each one is a hasra suffik. It's a doubt, in other words, a hasra of that nature, when we tell, in other words, when it's only a possible aveira, is not a valid hasra, because perhaps he doesn't take it seriously. So even though it ends up at the end of this incident, they warned him, don't hit that man, he might be your father. They warned him, don't hit that man, he might be your father. Or don't be makalal him, don't curse him. At the end of the day, he did both, but each hasra was a hasra suffik. Whereas we could understand over here, we're talking even where the hasra, in other words, bavasachas means the hasras were not split up. In any case, we have to be talking, in other words, the hasra has to be right before the incident as well. So the Tanakhama is of the opinion that a hasra suffik is a good hasra, even though it's not clear that he's going to do the avera, but we could take the two hasra suffiks and we could say that he definitely did the avera after he hit both of them. We can't do it after he hit only one of them, but if after he hit both of them, we can say he definitely did the avera. So, but Rav Yehuda disagrees. He says it could only be if he hit them in one action, where he was makalo them in one action. But otherwise, on each action, we could say the hasro was not valid. So Rav Yehuda says, Bavasa achas chai b'zechas are poter. Vatanya, we learned in a braisa. So the Gemara has a question. Rav Yehuda omer poter bavasa achas. The Rav Yehuda holds that you're even poter bavasa achas, even where there's no problem of hasro sofek. Because let's say they were both slow and hitting, we can understand it. They were both right there alongside him, and he hit both of them with one action. And Rav Yehuda holds that even in that case, he's poter. So the Gemara says, Trei Tanoi v'Liba de Rav Yehuda. It's two Tanoim going like Rav Yehuda. One holds Bavas Achas in one action as Chayiv, and one holds as Potter. But let's, now the Gemara has a problem, though. My Taima demanda Potter. What is the reason of the one who holds Potter? Why should he hold Potter? It was a Hasraz Vadai. It was a good warning. He did it in one action, so why should it be Potter? So I'm Rav Chanina explains, Nema Bracha Lamata, V'nemer bracha lamala. Now this is referring to an earlier avera that we of one of the serious averas in the Torah is, and we don't, because it's such a terrible thing, we express it only euphemistically. We call it blessing God, and we really, of course, mean the opposite. We mean the opposite. So by the avera of mevarich es Hashem, which we call mevarich, meaning to bless Hashem, and we really mean the opposite. It says, Nema bracha lamata, v'nema bracha lamala. It talks about being mevarich es Hashem. And it also talks about, and there we're talking about being mekalel. It talks about being mekalel, in other words, it says later on in the Torah, it says, Nema bracha lamata v'nema bracha lamala. It talks about bracha lamata meaning your parents, and it talks about bracha lamala meaning God himself. So mala mala shein bo shutfis. We know over there that if he's mekalel, if he is mevarich es Hashem and another being at the same time, then he did not transgress the isser of being mevarich es Hashem. So he's saying, we learn out from there, just like that type of mevarich or mekalel, cursing has to be just one. So aflamata, when we're talking about Ava v'imo, his parents, in this case we're talking about Ava, means shein bo shutfus. The iskish, and also haka, there's a hekish between haka l'klola. Because there, even though there is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, where we have the pasuk about being mekalel, about cursing, and we have the pasuk also of parents, or about hitting parents, there is actually another pasuk in between, but we understand that they go together. And therefore, if klala, cursing has that rule, then akka has that rule as well. And therefore, that's why over here, he's not going to be chayiv according to Rav Yehuda, not because of a problem with the hasra, but rather because of a technical problem in the way the akka was done. It has to be that he hit only one person and not two people. And here, one of them is his father and one of them was somebody else. So we come out according to the Tanakhama that Hasra Safek Ishma Hasra. But Tosis points out that that's not always going to be the case. There are cases, in other words, it will be the case over here where we know exactly what Avera he transgressed. But Tosis talks about a case in the Gemara in Zvachim. If you have Pigul, which is a certain type of psul in Kudshim, and Nosra, which is a different type of psul, and they get mixed together, so one of them is obviously more than the other one, and there's the rule of bittul berov. So we know if he ate them, he transgressed one of them. But over there, he says even the Tanakhama who holds over here that hasra sothik is a hasra, that a doubt that has, because over here we know what aver we're talking about. Over there, we don't know if he was over on the pigul or on the noser. So that's why that works differently. Okay, next gemara v'ola b'mishmoro. So we talked about now, with both of the fathers of this doubtful child are Kohanim. And he goes with Mishmaro. He goes up in his, the Mishnah said, he's Ola b'Mishmaro shel zeh. He serves in both Mishmaros. But he doesn't get a portion. Okay. V'chimiachar de'enu cholik. If he doesn't get a portion, lama ola. Why does he go up? In other words, so now the Gemara says, what do you mean? Homer Ba'ina, and Rashi actually, and the Bach seem to take out the next Lama Oila. It seems it could be understood without that. He says, Homer Bina the Neved Mitzvah. The Gemara says, why not? He wants to do a mitzvah. He wants to get a mitzvah of doing Avodah. And even though he won't get a portion, because each one of the Mishmaros could say, how do you know you belong? You're only really entitled to get a portion if you belong to our Mishmar, right? There were 24 Mishmaros that over 24 weeks. They had a 24-week cycle. Chaf Dal Mishmaros, we learned about this earlier in Seder Moed. And this person, one father's in one Mishmar, one father's in another Mishmar. So each one could say, you don't deserve a portion from our Mishmar. But he says he wants to go up. He says, we don't understand. The Gemara had a question why he goes up. Gemara says, not a question. He wants to go up. He wants to do a mitzvah. So Gemara says, Ela Ola Lo Katani. Our question is not on the word that he can go up. Of course, we could understand why he wants to go up, even if he's not going to get a portion. Ela Ola Bal Karcho. Our question was on the fact that the Mishnah stated that he goes up against his will, even if he doesn't want to serve. He says, you know what? I don't know what Mishmar I'm in. I don't want to serve anyway. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Rabbi, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Pegam Mishpacha. They could force him to serve because of Pegam Mishpacha, because they'll say, now he's not really Pasul for Avodah. He has no Psul of Avodah. We know, in fact, we know he's even a Kayan over here in this case. But they don't want it to be seen. They don't want it to look like the. They don't want it to look like the fact that that he has a psul avoda. They say if people don't see you working in our mishmar, they think maybe you're from. They know you're from one of these two fathers. If they don't see you working in our mishmar, they'll think there's some psul in the family. It will look bad for the family. So therefore, they can force him to serve. And the other mishmar could say the same thing. They say, and if he says, well, they'll see me serving in the other Mishmar, they said, maybe they won't realize that. So each Mishmar could say, I don't know if people are going to see you serving in the other Mishmar. We want you to serve in our Mishmar. They could force him to serve. And this is the explanation of the Gemara. There's a difficulty here. Taisus asks a question. Taisus says, how do you know that Ola means Bal Karcho? Maybe about, it means that we force him to serve against his will. Maybe the Mishnah means that he could serve against his will, even if they don't want him to serve, because they say, we don't know if you're really part of our Mishmar. And Taisus leaves this off without an answer. And it's really a problem on Rashi and the Mishnah also, because Rashi and the Mishnah seems to explain it not in concert with our Gemara. Rashi says if he wants to serve, he can serve in the Mishmar, and they can't stop him from serving. They can't stop him from serving, but he doesn't get a chalik because each mishmar could say, I don't know if you belong to our mishmar. Okay, next, so each mishmar was divided up into batei avos of the days of the week. Rashi says we're talking about there were six batei avos. Doesn't deal with the seventh of Shabbos. So that's a separate question. But maishno shnei mishmaros lo, why do you say if we have a doubt as to which mishmar he belongs, the ozel, lahai mishmar madchile, ozel lahai mishmar madchile, mishmar echad nami ozel lahai beisavu madchile. In other words, it's the implication of the Mishnah is that if we know for a fact that he belongs to one mishmar, let's say both fathers in doubt here belong to the same mishmar, then he definitely can serve and he can get a portion because he definitely belongs to that mishmar. Just a doubt on his father, which father is it? But he says we could have the same question. They're different days of the week. Different batei avos serve different days of the week. So the fathers are part of two different batei avos. They should be able to push him off the same way, even though he's part of the same mishmar. So the Gemara says, "Madchilei va'ozel lahai beisavu madchilei." Right. You read it. Right. Mishmar echad nami ozel lahai beisavu madchilei. And lahai beisavu madchilei. Samar Rav Papa hachi kamar. This is what we mean to say. Hayu shneim mishmar echad. If they're both one mishmar beis av echad, then notul chelik echad. When could he get a chelik? When could he get a portion of the karbonos and a portion of the skins of the animals that were brought as karbonos? When they both belong to one mishmar and one beis av. Okay. Hadron lach noisen ala nusa. Now we start a new perek, which deals with the topic of the mechanics of chalitza. Now, just a brief summary of the rules of chalitza, or the procedure of chalitza, very brief summary, and get more into many details later. But the pasuk says what happens is the yavama, the woman, goes up, and she says these words, as it says in the pasuk, me'ein yavami lahokim lachiv shem b'yisrael lo ava yavami, and then the dayanim, the judges, call him, and he says, lo chafasti lakachta, and then the next thing is, she comes to the woman comes to in front of the judges, and she takes off his shoe from his right foot, and she spits in front of him. And she says, so it should be done. And she says she has to say this in Lashon Kodesh, these three phrases. She has these three phrases, the two phrases said by her and the one said by him. Kocha yaseh li'ish. So it should be done to the man that doesn't build up his brother's house. Okay, in a case where he's doing chalitza. So now we're going to get into the particulars of chalitza. And that's what this perek is dealing with. Mitzvah chalitza b'shloshe dayanam. The mitzvah of chalitza requires three dayanam, afilu shloshten hedyotas. And even if it's three hedyotas. And the Gemara is going to ask, what does it mean? Do you need, now, dayanam has the implication there was a process called smicha. That doesn't mean smicha like we have nowadays, but it was a process called smicha that from Moshe Rabbeinu, it was handed down from generation to generations, the ability to judge. And you need smicha to judge certain matters, such as dinei nefashos, capital crimes, or corporal punishment crimes, or rules of kenosos, fines. Over here it seems to say you could have dayanim, which seems to imply you need smuchim, but then in the very next line it says even you have shlosha hedyotis. So if even hedyotis, which means they don't have to have smicha, are acceptable, then why does it mention dayanim? The Gemara will deal with that. Cholze b'manal. Now a manal is a type of shoe, and it's a type of shoe that has soft leather. So if she does chalitza with a soft leather shoe, which Rashi says is like the type of shoes that they wore, chalitza ksheret, that's a good chalitza. But we say we prefer they don't use this manal, which is the soft leather shoe, because it is a type of shoe that if it gets ripped or something, it could be patched up. And so really it's not the preferred shoe, but as long as it wasn't, in other words, it might be patched up or taped up in such a way that in which it would not be good. So the Rabbanan didn't want to get into a situation of where you might do the chalitz and the ceremony wrong. So they said they preferred you don't use this lechatchila, but bidi evit, if you did use it, post facto, it's good. Banpilia means like a sock, like something made out of fabric. Chalitza subsula, that's not a shoe, and that's a posel of chalitza. Besandal, now a sandal doesn't really mean a sandal like a sandal like we wear, but a sandal means something made of hard leather. And that's something that if it breaks, you can't patch up. So therefore, there's no problem, there's no reason to, that's why that's the preferred thing to use. Sheesh lo ekev, it has to have a heel. Now, heel usually means either the heel of somebody's foot or the heel of the shoe. And also it means, Rashi says, it also means the sole. He also says it means the sole of the shoe. And even if a small part of the sole is missing, then we're going to say it's no good. But if it has an ekev, it's kosher. V'shein lo ekev, but if it's missing the sole or any part of the sole, it's pasul. Minar kuvala matev, somebody's an amputee, and he goes below the knee, so then he's wearing a shoe. The chalitza is ksheret min arkuva lamala, but if he goes above the knee, the chalitza is pasul. It's not a good chalitza. In other words, if he's that, such a person cannot do chalitza. If his shoe is amputated above the foot, he cannot do chalitza. Okay, chalitza b'sandal she'en shaloi. If he does chalitza with a sandal, this is the type of shoe made of hard leather, which does not belong to him. Obisandal shalates, or if it's a sandal made out of wood. Obishal smol biyamin, where he put a left foot shoe on the right foot. Chalitzik sheirim, bidiyevit it's kosher. Talk about this. In other words, chadchila, it seems it should belong to him, but a bidiyevit, if he does it this way, the chalitza is kosher. It's good. Okay. And the Gemara later will discuss what type of wooden shoe is kosher as well. Okay. But we do see that you have to use the right foot, no matter what, even if he's a lefty. That is ma'akev. Chaltzu begadol shiyochel halachbo. If he took a shoe that was too big for his foot, but he could still walk in it without coming out of the shoe, or bekatan shu chayfes roi raglo, or it's too small, but it covers most of his foot, chalitzasek sheira. It's not the preferred again, but if he does it b'diavad, it is a good chalitza. We prefer a shoe that because obviously we don't want to get close to a shoe that's too large or too small, where it wouldn't cover most of his foot. That would be puzzle. So we don't want to use any shoe that's not exactly the right size. But if he's able to walk in it, or he's able to have most of his foot covered, then the chalitza is kosher. Okay. Now we start the Gemara. Now that we said that you could even have three hedyotos, meaning they don't have to have smicha, dayanan lamali. So why does the Mishnah mention anything about dayanim? It should just say mitzvos chalisa b'shloshe hadyotas. So the Gemara says, hakamashbalan debeinim b'shloshe sheyodim lahakros kein dayanim. They have to know how to read the psukim like dayanim, as we said in our introduction to the perek. The Yavama has to say certain words, Me'en Yavami, he has to say Lo Chafatzi Lekachta. After she spits, she's supposed to say Kocha Yeose Le'isha Shelo Yivnes Beis Achiv. She's supposed to say those things. So they should know how to read. In other words, it was what they used to do was they used to prompt them and say, this is what you're supposed to say. And they need to be knowledgeable enough to know how to do that. Now, do they have to know really any of the laws of Chalitza? Or they could just do it the way they think it is and check it out later? That's a machlekes rishonim. Taisa seems to say they really don't have to be that well-versed in the mitzvah of Chalitza. They could do it the way they think it should be done. And they check it out later. It was good. It works. The Muki Yosef says that they should know the laws of Chalitza. They don't have to be musmachim. They don't have to have the chain of smicha. But they have to know how the Chalitza ceremony should be done. Okay, Tanina Lahada Tana Rabbanan. This Mishnah, Tanina Lahada Tana Rabbanan. This Mishnah supports something that was said by the Rabbanan. Right. Yeah, okay. So he says, Mitzvah Chalitza B'Shleisha. Shiyodin Lahakris Kein Dayanam. The Mitzvah Chalitza has been three that know how to read Kein Dayanam. Rav Yudah Mar Bechamisha. Rav Yudah says it's Bechamisha. So this Bryce is telling us things similar to the Mishnah. It says you have to have three, and what they don't need to be musmachim, they just have to know how to read. But now we have a different shita. Rav Yehuda's shita says you need to have five dayanim. My time at the Tanakhama. So we want to explain this machlokis of whether you need three or whether you need five, according to the two shitas. The Tanya, we learned in the Bryce, is Kainim Shnayim, vein based in Shokel. It says in the Pasuk, one of the words in the Pasuk in Dvarim Chatei Pasuk Zion is you need to have two skanim, and you can't have a bastin shokel. You cannot have a equal number of members on the bastin. So Masifin Olein Odecha, we add another one, Arikan Shloisha, so you have to have three. And Rav Yehuda says Zikne Shnayim, you have to have two skanim. It says Zikne, and it says Skanim Shnayim. There's a second Pasuk Ches, in Dvarim Perek Chatei, and it says the Karlo Zikne Iro, which Lachor is also extra. So he says, I have Zikne to tell me to, I have Skanim to tell me to, I can't have a Bastin Shokel, I can't have an equal number of members on the Bastin, so Masifalein Odechad. So therefore you have to add another one, Harekan Chamisha, so he says you have to have five. Now, it's interesting to note, that what is the reason, Taisa says the reason why you can't have a Bastin Shokel, why you can't have an equal member, is because there's certain things in Chalitza which are Machlokasin, so they have to decide which opinion to go like. Masha from Taisus, if you would have something that wouldn't have any machlokasin, you could have an equal number of people on Bastin. But that, according to one Teretz of Taisus, another Teretz of Taisus says not like that. Okay, but now we have a question. The Tanakhama says you only need three. The Tanakhama, hai zikne mai obili. What does the Tanakhama do with the word zikne that the Rav Yehuda used to tell you an extra two, and that got him to five? So the Gemara says, "Mi boile l'rabuya filo shloisha hadyaitis." He says he uses it to tell you that you need that even three hadyotas. In other words, that's how I know. How do I know you don't need musmachim? Maybe you should. For most based in, it says ashara, as Taisus says, which would seem to say the gate, which seems to refer to Sanhedrin, which means musmachim. So Zikne tells you you could even have three hadyotas. Rav Yehuda hadyotas minole. And how does Rav Yehuda know hadyotas? So he says, Nafgalei mila einai. In other words, because he already uses Zikne to add on another two dayanim to get to five. So he learns it out from a different pasuk. It says that they have to, she has to go up le'enei atzkenim. The Amar Mar le'enei prat l'sumim. So he says, we have a brisa, it says le'enei means you can't have blind people. Now, what do you have to exclude blind people for? Shmami no da filu hadyotis. That's a proof that even hadyotis, non musmachim, is enough. Because if you would think that you would need to have people who are on the level of Sanhedrin, meaning musmachim, lomali limute sumim, I wouldn't need the pasuk of mile'ene to exclude sumim. I would already know that from the fact that they have to be musmachim. So he says, I could extrapolate from that. That's what Rav Yehuda says, from the fact that it said, Prat l'sumim, that they can't be blind, that they don't need to be musmachim. Because we know that musmachim cannot be blind, being a Tani Rav Yosef nafka. Because that we already learned from Tani Rav Yosef. The Tani Rav Yosef, Keshem Shebeis, the Menuchim B'Tzedek, just like the based, but the people who are on based and who are on the Sanhedrin, have to be people who are upstanding people, upstanding citizens. Kach Beistin Menuchim Mikol Mum. So Beistin also has to be people who are clean from all blemishes. Shenamar, as it says in the Pasuk, this is a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Kulach Yofa Rayosi Umum Ein Boch. You are entirely beautiful, my friend, without any blemish in you, and we say it's referring to the Sanhedrin. Uvi'idach, so hu le'enei mayavidle. So now the Tana Kama, who used Ziknei to tell you need hedyotis. So what does he do with the Enei? What does it have to say? She goes in front of the Zkenim, to the eyes of the Zkenim. Nikshuvim to be'elav le'zkenim, it could have said in the Pasuk. So he says, mayavidle umi boile k'daravah. He needs it to tell me another halacha like Rava. I have to see spit that comes out. The dayanim have to see lechatchila, not b'dieved, as it's mashma, but lechatchila they should see the spit as it comes out of the mouth of the yavama when she spits. And there are a few halachas pertaining to that. It says to the eyes of this kainim b'yarka. All right, we'll get back to that in a minute. Let's just finish this explanation of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanim. V'yidach nami miboilele k'derava. The other one also needs it according to Rava. How's he going to know this halacha that you need to see the spit? So he says, einachinami. The truth of the matter is you're right. He can't use le'ene for that because Rabbi Yehuda also needs it to tell you that you have to see the spit. Velahedyotus minole. So how is Rabbi Yehuda going to know that? How is Rav Yehuda going to know hedyotos are acceptable to be on the basin of a chalitza? Nafgalei mi b'Yisrael, because it says a pasuk. It says in the pasuk, "Main yivami l'hakam l'achav shem b'Yisrael lo avav yabmi." So actually, he says it's not. You don't. And the Aruch Lener points out you don't read the pasuk that my yivama refuses to be mekayim a shem b'Yisrael. It means he doesn't want to be mekayim a shem, and it's b'Yisrael, meaning Yisrael called who. The Dayanim could be a member of Klal Yisrael. It does not have to be a musmachim member of Klal Yisrael. Somebody who had a direct chain of smicha. Be'idach. And the other shita. Meaning, what does the Tana Kama do with this Yisrael? What do they do with the pasuk of B'Yisrael? What do they do with it? They already know from Zikne. So he says, Miboile, they need it for something else. Look at a Tani Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda B'Yisrael, but Basin Shal Yisrael. The lo bebeistin shall gerim. It has to be a beistin of Klal Yisrael, born Jewish born members, but converts are not acceptable. The Torah says converts are not acceptable to be on this beistin, and that's what he learns out. The idach, and the other one, meaning Rav Yehuda, well, how does he know you can't have a beistin of gerim? He's already using Yisrael to tell you had yaitis, that you don't need to have musmachim. He says, b'Yisrael achrina ksiv. It says, b'Yisrael achrina. It says another Yisrael. It says in the Pasuk, V'nikra Shmo B'Yisrael, Beitz Chalutz Anal. So that extra Yisrael teaches you, Beis in Shal Yisrael, not Beis in Shal Goyim. V'idach, the other Shita says, Miboile, you can't use that second Yisrael for that, because I use that for a different point. Miboile L'Kedetanya, we need it for what was learned in a Braisa, Amar of Yehuda, Pamachas Hayon Yoshin Lefnei Rebbe Tarfon. I was sitting in front of Rebbe Tarfon, Ubo Yivama Lachleist, and a Yivama came to do Chalitza, Amr Lanu, and he said, Anu Kulchem, all those present by the Chalitza should say Cholitz Anal. They should say those words, Cholitz Anal. The shoe has been removed. So that's why I can't use Yisrael to tell I need that Yisrael for that. So V'idach. So how does Rav Yehuda now know that halacha? It seems to be that was an accepted halacha. Everybody agrees to it. So he uses it for B'nikra Nafka. He says, it says, B'nikra Shmo B'Yisrael Beis Cholitz Anal. The problem, Tana Kama doesn't seem to be concerned about that, and what we do with Vinikra, because it's really a little bit problematic understanding Rav Yehuda at this point. Because the problem understanding Rav Yehuda is it had to say something, it had to put in the extra word B'Yisrael, and it had to have some, Pasuk had to have some simple explanation. So it had to say Vinikra, just couldn't say B'Yisrael, base Cholitz Anal. So Vinikra Shmo is really part of the narrative, not maybe part of an extra word to be used to make such a drasha that they all have to say Cholitz Hanal. If he's already using Yisrael to tell you that based in Shal Yisrael, below based in Shal Gerim, doesn't seem he has that extra Yisrael. Okay. All right. Now, just to sum up a couple of points outside the Gemara, really on Chalitza. They say when a person does Chalitza, the Shulchan Aruch mentions saying a bracha below Shema Malchus, that you're mevarech mitzvus v'chukim shel Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu also did some form of Chalitza. Another question that's discussed in the poskim, is Chalitza mitzvah even if she doesn't want to marry Lashuk? Let's say she's an older woman. She says, her husband died, didn't have children. And she says, which by the way, even if she has children, but her husband didn't have children, there's a mitzvah of Yivam, but she says she's not interested in getting married. Is there a mitzvah to do Chalitza anyway? So they said the Beis Shmuel says no, the Emek Yeshua says yes. There's a Beis Shmuel, but Shema Zoyer says it's still a mitzvah because it gives the mace a manucha nuchayna. Another question, we said that they have to be Yodim Lahakros, and that's Lachatchila. Is that Bidiyevet a problem? And the Rambam says it's not, and the Amshul Shlomo explains because anyway, Bidiyevet, if they didn't say the Psukim, it's Kosher Bidiyevet. The other question the Kilas Yaakov discusses, you can't have a base in less than three, but can you have, and there you learn out you can't have a base in Shakel, but can you have a base in a four or six? Would that be acceptable? Also, we see that the Roke, that having to see the spit, is only a din lachatchila. And why it is that way, we'll see Amir Tashem later on Daf Kuvav. But because that's Rav's Lashon, he says they have to see it. He doesn't say if they don't see it, it's possibility of it. And we have a bunch of lechatchilos here. Lechatchilos, they should see the spit coming out of her mouth. It should go in front of the air, in front of the yavam, and it also lechatchilos should touch the ground, should hit the ground, and they should be able to see that. Okay, elamiyata. Now the Gemara has another. There are other psukim they want to learn out. It says vikaru. There's a pasuk vikaru lo zikne iro. V'dibru, and it says v'dibru elav. He says, and it's what we're saying. It dibru elamiyata v'karu should add another two. Why does it say v'karu lo? And then it says v'dibru elav. It should just say v'yomad v'amra. He responds lo chafasti l'kachta. So why don't we learn out that you need another two? Hachinami l'Rav Yehuda arei kantisha. And according to Rav Yehuda, who already learned out from other pesukim, you have five. You should add another four to need nine. And l'Rabbanan, you should add another four to be shiva. Right? You should need seven dayanim. So Gemara says, no, we need these psukim for other drushes. Hamu v'boile l'kidatanya. We need it for what's learned in a brisa. V'karu lo v'lo shluchim. They can't, they have to be the ones involved. He has to be the one involved. He cannot send a shliach. He cannot send a proxy to do chalitza. Kedushin can be done through a shliach. Gittin can be done through a shliach, but not chalitza. Chalitza needs to be the parties themselves. Vidabru elav melamed shemis. We learn out from vidabru elav melamed shemisin lo eitzah genesli. We give him an eitzah which is fit for him. Shimhu yelad v'his kena. If he is young, and she's old. Hu zaken v'hi yolda, or he's old and she's young. Amar lo malach eitzel yolda. They said, what do you want a young girl for? You're an old man. Malach eitzel kena. Or if he's young and she's old. We say, what do you want to go by? It's Kena. Kolach Eitzel Shekamayscha. Go by somebody who's more in your age bracket. V'al tachnes ketotu l'toch beisecha. And don't bring arguments into your house. So the Gemara is telling you that when you have people who have a big age gap, it's possible that the marriage will not work. Of course, we suggest to them, should such a thing fall for chalitza, we don't want to have a situation not having shalom bayis, even though yivim's a mitzvah, and we suggest that they do chalitza. Okay. Omer Rav Nachman. Halacha chalitza b'shleisha. The halacha is, we had a machlekes whether chalitza needs three or five, but the halacha is chalitza needs three, because hol b'stam lan tana kavasi. We had a stam mishnah, and that's our mishnah, the mitzvah's chalitza. Rav Yehuda was only quoted in the brisa. Amalei Rav le Rav Nachman. So Rav said to Rav Nachman, yihochi miyon nami. So then miyon should also need only three. That's not hamiyon v'chalitza b'shleisha. We have a stam mishnah in Sanhedrin. Miyon. Which has been discussed earlier in this Masechta, that means when a father is allowed to marry off his daughter who's a ketana, and that's a kedushin deraisa. But if the father is not in the picture, let's say he died, Or he married her off and she got divorced already, in which case he has no further right to marry her off. There's still a kedushin derabbanan that either the father can do or the other brothers or the mother could do, so she should be able to find a shidduch. But that type of kedushin she has the right to opt out of when she becomes a gadol by the mian process. But we're saying she has to do it in front of three dayanim. The chisei mahachinami, and if you're going to say mian really does need three, what's your question? You're saying mian should need three. Mian does need three. But we'll bring you a proof that we know halacha l'maisa, mian does not need three, even though there's a stam mishnah that says it does. Because v'atandi, we learned in a braisa, mian. Beishamai omer based in mumchen. Beishamai says you actually need musmachim for mian. Beisil omer based in v'shaloi based in. You don't need musmachim. It could be in based in, it could be not in based in. Eilu v'eidl modem shesarach shleisha. Both of them agree that you need three. They don't have a machlekes. Rav Yosef, Rav Yudah, Rav Elazar, Rav Yosef, machshirim b'shnayim. They say you can have two. V'yomer Rav Yosef, Rav Menyumi, Yomer Rav Nachman, halacha koyses zug. He says the halacha is like that pairing, and all you need to have is two. So we have a question as to, in other words, so there we have a stam mishnah says you need three, and we don't go by the stam mishnah. So why over here do we go like the stam mishnah? So the Gemara says, Hasam Chad Stami. We only have one Stam Mishnah by Mian. Hachat Bahachat Trey Stami. Here we have two Stam Mishnahs. We have our Mishnah, and we have the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, Hasam Nami Trey Stami Ninu. When you concern Mian, we also have two Stam Mishnahs. It says you need three. The Tnan, we learned in a Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah we had earlier in Yavamas. Mian Osha Chalzah Befanav Yisanu Mitnei Shuba Beistin. It says if she's Shuba Beistin. Right, the Saras HaShas changes the bib based into based in. It says if he's Miana or Shechotza Befanav, he can marry her because they're a based in. What's this Mishnah talking about? This Mishnah was talking about, it says if a woman made herself through a neder, Asher and Hanoa to her husband. Now her husband was not made for the neder. He has the right to be made for the neder the day he hears it, but for some reason he didn't do that. And now, in order to stay married, she has to be mater the neder. So she goes to a chacham to try to permit the vow. And the chacham cannot find a reason to permit it, so she has to end up getting divorced. We say that chacham shouldn't marry her because it doesn't look right. Maybe the reason why he didn't find a heter was because he wanted to marry her. But if she did mian in front of him, or there was a chalitza that in front of that same chacham, he can marry her because he wasn't the only one over there. There was a bastin, so we don't assume of him, we don't accuse him, that is, of anything improper. So we see based in means three. So Gemara says, you're right. We have two stam mishnas as far as mian, but elahasam trei stam, hachat lasa stami. But chalitza, we have three stams. In other words, mian, we have the two stams. We have the stam earlier in Yavamas, back on daf chathayam at base. And we have the stam mishnah in Sanhedrin. But for chalitza, we have three stams. Our mishnah over here in mitzvah's chalitza, the mishnah in Sanhedrin, and the Mishnah earlier back on Daf Chavav. But then the Gemara says, El Hasam Trei Stama, Achat Losa Stama. Here we have two, and there we have three. But the Gemara says, Michti, Has Stama V'Has Stama. They're both Stam Mishnayas. Mali Chad Stam, Mali Trei Stam, Mali Tlosa. What difference does it make if I have one Stam Mishnah, two Stam Mishnahs, I have three? One Stam Mishnah should be enough. In other words, if we're saying that we go by a Stam Mishnah, it shouldn't make a difference how many we have. So, the reason why over here we go by the Stam Mishnah of Chalitza needing three, and we don't go like the Stam Mishnah by Mian, of Mian needing three, is that Tznan, we had it in a Mishnah. Smichas Kenim Egla Rufa. Smichas Kenim is referring to when, let's say, the Tzibur, and we really touched on this a little bit earlier also in the last parak. If the Tzibur did an Aveira, which is a Chi of Kares, or Mises Basin, through a mistaken Psakin Basin. And as we said before, it doesn't mean that they made it, let's say they thought it was dark and Shabbos was over, and it wasn't. That would be a mistake. But let's say they paskin something wrong. They paskin a certain maisa, action is permitted on Shabbos, and then they realize they made a mistake. And the tzibur did it. So the tzkenim have to be soimich, they have to bring a parhelim dover. So smicha tzkenim, the egla rufa, smicha tzkenim, and egla rufa. Egla rufa is in the case of where somebody died in between two cities, so the basin of that city has to bring a egla rufa. And that's discussed in Maseches Soto, all the halachas of that. And they throw the calf, they decapitate the calf. So that needs to have three. Divrei Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda Amar b'chamisha. And Rav Yehuda says it needs five, Dayanim. Rav Yosi says it needs three. And then it goes on, that Mishnah. And this is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It says, Smichas kein of egla rufa b'shloisha, Divrei Rav Yosi. I'm sorry, I read that again. Chalitza miyinu b'shloisha. And it goes on, the Mishnah. It says, Chalitza miyinu b'shloisha. Veloka palag Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda only argued and said you need five by smichas kein, by bringing the par helam dover, by the egla rufa. He did not argue by chalitza and miyin. Veloka palag Rav Yehuda. So shmami no hader bei Rav Yehuda shmami no. It's mashmid that Rav Yehuda ended up being chayzer. It's, just Tysus points out an interesting thing. It's interesting that we even had to get into the idea of a Stam Mishnah, because don't we have a rule? Yachad v'rabim halacha k'rabim. We paskin like the majority, and that was the Rabbanim. So of course a chalitza based and only should need three. So Tysus says, but it seems like Rav Yehuda's reasoning made more sense originally. So therefore we had to find, to see if there was a Stam Mishnah that would direct this in the way we paskin. It ends up that Rav Yehuda was chozer to say like the Chachamim. Okay. Next, two dots. Amar Rava, Sricha Dayanim Lemikvei Duchta. Another halachi in Chalitza is that Dayanim have to set up a place. And they say, this is the place where we're going to do this Chalitza, this upcoming Chalitza. Dichsiv, V'olsa Yevimto Hashare El Askenim. It says they go back. He says the Yevimto has to go up to Hashare El Askenim, so it seems like she has to go to a designated place. She has to go to a designated place. So the place needs to be designated beforehand. There's a machlekes, how they have to do that. Does it have to be done? The Gra seems to say that you have to actually sit there. Others just say it's enough to just designate the place. Say we're going to go up to that place. Okay. Rav Papa, Rav Huna Breda, Rav Yeshua, Ovid Uvda B'chamisha. They, when they performed a chalitza, they had five people there. Kaman, Rav Yehuda. They're going like Rav Yehuda. V'hadar Bey. Rav Yehuda already was chozer, we said. He changed his mind. And he said, you only need to have three, as we saw from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says, Lefarsumi Milsa. You don't really need five, but there's an idea of doing it with, in other words, five will be more of a publicizing of it. And there's a mitzvah to, Rashi gives two reasons for this. There's a mitzvah to publicize a chalitza in order that she shouldn't marry a kohen, and because people should know that she's a chalutza, because maybe chalutza won't be known like a get, like a grusha, because a grusha, there was a get given out, so it seems to be it has more of the word about it carries more. Or another reason is that people should know that she's not a shomeris yovim anymore. People are free to marry her. So the difference between these two reasons would be, let's say she's a grusha already. If you hold like the first reason, there would be no reason to have five, because we already, Kohanim already know they can't marry her. Or like the second reason, if let's say she says, I'm not interested in getting married anyway. So that would be they wouldn't have to have five, according to that reasoning. Ravashi ikla lebe rav Kohanim. But in general, they would look for five. Amar le, solik marn le gavin le mulid be chamisha. It said, go up to fill up the five people. And, okay. Amar Rav Kahana, Havikim Nekami de Rav Yehuda. I was in front of Rav Yehuda. Amar li toth sak lezir zedekani. Told him to go to that place of reeds. He told him to go to that place of reeds to join in with the Lemuli Bechamisha. Which, by the way, seems to indicate that even for the Kfias, even though the extra Dayanim are only Lefarsim and Milsa, to publicize it for whatever the reasons were that we said, there's still a mitzvah that they should be involved in the mitzvah of designating the place. And again, we could be Medayik. Rava said they have to designate a place, that's Lachat Chila, but B'di'evit, if they don't designate a place, then it would still be acceptable. That wouldn't be a psul in the Chalitza, because again, from his Lashon, we say, Sricha Dayanim, it's something they have to do Lachat Chila. Okay. So, Amar Rav Kahana, Vikimi Kami de Rav Yehuda, Vyamali Tos Sakla Zuda de Kani, let's Terufei Bechamisha, to have five people there to designate the place. Amar Lamali Chamisha, what do you need five for? Amar Lo, they said to him, people who were there, when asked Rav Yehuda, why do you need five Dayanim? Amar Lu, Kehechad Lefarsim Milsa. Again, the reason is, answer the same way. We're doing it in order to be mefarsim, just to publicize the fact that she's a chalutza. Okay. There's a Bach over here. Okay. Amar Shmuel bar Yehuda. Ki havine, right? He puts in the word Amar by the little base. Amar Shmuel bar Yehuda. Havikoi kami the Rav Yehuda. Amar Lei. I was by Rav Yehuda. Amar Lei. Sak ta zelizirza dekani les tarufa dechamish les tafarsumi milsa. He said, go by that bundle of reeds to be mefarsim the milsa. Amar Lei. So Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, by the way, was a ger. Him and his father both converted, but his mother was not Jewish. He was a convert. Amalei Tanina, but it said, how could I be part of the Beis Din? It says, be Yisrael, but Beis Din Yisrael, but lo Beis Din shall goy gerim. Can't have a Beis Din of gerim. And everybody agreed to that, as we said. Vana gerina, I'm a ger. And now, so he relented at this point, and he did not include him in the Beis Din. There is a discussion over here that Truma Sadeshin says that we see that even for the extra Dayanim, he could have really said, you're just from one of the extra Dayanim. And therefore, that would have been okay because the whole purpose is only be Lefarsim Lemilsa. It seems to me even the extra Dayanim should have to be not Gerim. The Bidva has an interesting way of, very interesting way of understanding this. And he says that the truth of the matter is, the two extra members of the Beis Din don't have to be, could be Gerim. They don't have that halacha. But Rav Yehuda, because of it, his great respect for Shmuel bar Yehuda, even though he was a Ger, and as we'll see that in a minute, he didn't want to make it look like Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda was like from the, so to speak, Tufel, the not important members of the Beis Din. So he therefore, even though he could have answered, you know what, you really could go anyway, but he didn't want to make him different than the other three. So he says that's why he didn't end up putting him on the Beis Din. But really, a ger could be put on for the extra two because the purpose is only Lefarsim and Milsa. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, three lines. Kogon Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda mafkinim amona pume. And now you see what Rav Yehuda said about Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, the ger. He said, such a person, if he gave A this, I would take out money. If he said, Ruvain owed Shimon money, I would trust him enough. He's like to aid him. He's very reliable. So Gemara says, Mafkinas al-gadayta. Could you say he takes out money? Val pishnai made him a rachmana. The Torah says you need to have two witnesses. You can't emotzi, remove money from somebody just by an eid echad. All an eid echad can do is make somebody have to make an oath, a shvua, that he doesn't owe the money. But you can't take out. So it does make a difference how reliable Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda is. That's a gzeiras hakasuv, the Torah said. Ela marana shtara pume. He says, I would say, if let's say, in other words, the assumption is, let's say somebody had, Ruvain lent Shimon money. And Ruvain has a shtar from Shimon that he owes him the money. So Shimon cannot claim he paid as long as he has the shtar. But if somebody like Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda would come and say, even though it's true that the malva, the lender, is still holding the shtar and it wasn't given back to the borrower, yet nevertheless, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda is so reliable, I could believe him and I don't have to. And usually we have a logic, we say, well, if he paid already, why is the shtar still in the hand of the malva, of the lender? But when you have somebody like Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, that would work. Tysus doesn't want to learn this way. Tysus learns, two different pshatim really, Tysus says. He says that in general, if you have a shtar, and you have an eid echad, saying that the shtar was paid, then we're going to make the malva, the lender, the bala shtar, has to make an oath that he still owes him the money. But if he would be a karov, let's say, a relative, then he wouldn't be believed. But Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, I guess, how did he have a korva? If he somehow would have been a relative to the life of the malva, he still would have been believed because he was such a reliable person. That's one way of saying it. Taisa says another way of saying it is you can have a shtar where the love wrote to the malva in the shtar that even if an eid echad will come and say that the shtar was paid, or even if the malva will say that part of the love, even though I have the whole shtar for the whole, let's say, amount of the debt, but some of it was paid, which normally the halacha is that if he has an eid echad that said, if there was one witness saying that he paid, he would have to make a shvua. Or if he was said that the shtar is not really for the full debt, he would have to make a shvua to collect.
unless the lover put a stipulation in the shtar that in such cases I'll believe you without a shvua, and he doesn't have to make a shvua. In such a case, he's released from a shvua, and you believe the claim of the malva, of the lender, without a shvua. But he says, if let's say you have a person like Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda coming along and saying he was the Eid Echad that said it was paid, or he's the one, and if it's somebody like him, so then the malva could force the borrower could force the malva in such a situation to have to make a shvua because such a reliable person came and said it, even though he released him in the shtar from that obligation. Okay, we're stopping over here. Today, daf, two words from the end of the daf, starting tomorrow with Va'amar Rava.